Moncrief on News Talk.
There's always a call for more blood donations because supply seems to be decreasing while demand is going in the other direction. So how can more donors be attracted to help? Would paying people make a difference? Or is that ethically questionable? Dr. Suzanne Crowe is president of the Medical Council. Good afternoon, Suzanne.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why do you think fewer people are donating?
Well, people are busy, you know, and there's less people in the city where most of the donation clinics are. With people working from home, it's just a specific trip perhaps to do it. And generally, people often have other things to do. So it's just thinking about other ways that we can actually reinforce and, you know, really capitalize on that desire to do good, because it is a really powerful desire with most people.
Yeah. Are there mobile donation clinics, or are there?
There are. And actually, there was one just last week in Rathfarnham, and they're always really busy. The mobile clinics are really popular.
Now, for and if somebody learns a mobile clinic will be in their area tomorrow, can you just go up and donate, or do you have to, I assume there's some sort of protocol you need to go through first?
If you've donated before, it's not a bad idea to turn up, although generally the IBTS prefer if you make an appointment, just so they can kind of have enough staff and have enough equipment and control the flow of people through the clinic, so they're not besieged at the start of the clinic with a whole load of people. But if you've never donated before, you really do need to make an appointment, because actually nowadays, filling out the pre-donation questionnaire is nearly the longest part of the whole donation, because the questions, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. As we know from past instances, you have to make super sure that people aren't carrying particular conditions or diseases that you don't want
absolutely. Every time I donate, I notice that they've added on another new question or two, because it's something that keeps changing. If you remember a couple of years ago, there was the Zika virus that I think might have been originally from South America. So, you know, that now has to be accounted for on the donation form. And if you are donating for the first time, you'll be invited to have a private interview with a nurse, so that they can tease through any of the things that you might have answered yes to on the questions, and indeed, you know, ask the nurse about donating.
And if you get through all that, when you come to donate, how long does it take?
Roughly about an hour. It's not a huge amount of time, and you normally feel, if you're fit and healthy, you normally feel fine afterwards.
Yeah, and famously, people used to get a bottle of Guinness afterwards, which, as it turned out, was of no benefit to them whatsoever.
You get a cup of tea and some biscuits, and you feel really smug for the rest of the day.
Yes, I assume the demand for blood has gone up just because of it's an increasing population.
Yes. And I suppose in medicine, we have been working on a number of different ways to try and use less blood. But the demand is increasing because there are so many complicated surgeries now offered to people. And most of those surgeries, or a lot of them, will involve a blood transfusion.
Yeah. Now, the ways of attracting people to do it more, apart from just alerting them to the fact that there's a need, in any other jurisdictions, do they pay people? And is there evidence that works or not?
In countries that are less well-resourced, there is some payment for blood, but actually research would actually show that, you know, countries like ourselves, where they have stuck with 100% voluntary donation, they actually have a higher proportion of regular donors. And regular donors are really what the service needs. You need people coming a couple of times a year to provide a really nice, sustainable service. Countries where they have gone with payment, there's a lot of difficulty about how that payment is framed. I mean, what even do you pay? You know, how do you put the price or a value on a unit of blood? And are you paying to give cash to somebody who's really desperate and needs it? Or are you paying to give it as a reward for a heroic deed? So it's very problematic.
Yeah. Indeed. Plus, also, there's a danger if someone's doing it purely for the money, they're going to try and bypass the rules and donate more than they should.
Yeah, correct. So the motivation is different, and therefore you just wouldn't be 100% certain that they had been completely honest with the questionnaire beforehand. And the whole thing rests on the honesty of that.
Yeah. Are there particular blood types that you'd be keen to get people to donate?
Well, O negative is like gold because it's the universal donor. So you will sometimes see the IPTS putting out particular calls for O negative. The commonest blood group in Ireland is O positive. So there's always a need for that. And then the rarer types in Ireland are the A, the B and AB.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, as someone says, my mother was O negative, as you said, the blood clinic called to our house. All through the 60s, 70s and 80s, we loved it because they gave us pencil and pens.
Well, actually, funny enough, in some of the US states, they've looked at non-cash incentives. And I think that that's an interesting idea. They use a system like raffle tickets, where if you donated in the last few months, you randomly get sent concert tickets or tickets for the movies. So there is a little bit of interest in that worldwide, but it's not something that has been looked at here.
Yeah, though I suppose it goes back, you know, people are busy and moving the mountain to Muhammad, so to speak, in that, you know, there's one down the end of your street, even though you may have done it previously, but you just can't get round to it. But I suppose there's expense there.
There is a little bit of expense. I think you really, it really rests on that feeling that you're going to give back to people, that they're standing in solidarity with the person who's been knocked off their bike or the person who's going through cancer treatment. You're never necessarily going to meet them, but isn't it a lovely feeling to feel like you helped like somebody like that?
Yeah, indeed. Or like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
That might need
yeah.
surgery.
And surgery in newborns almost always needs a blood transfusion because their blood volume is tiny and their bone marrow for making the red cells is very immature. So they definitely need blood.
Yeah. Suzanne, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Suzanne Crow, President of the Medical Council and a consultant in paediatric intensive care in Children's Health Ireland, Crumlin.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.